Morning. Today's daf and tomorrow's Lamed Beis. We're starting the new parak this morning on the bottom of Lamed Alpha Lamed Beis. A number of times throughout Shas, we note the distinction between Kedushas Mizbech and Kedushas Damin. Kedushas Haguf versus Kedushas Damin. When you are going to give something a intrinsic Kedusha, notably a carbon, and as a result of that, it's non-redeemable. The animal has to be used as a carbon. As opposed to if I give something Kedushas Bedek HaBayis, that means that only the value of the item has Kedusha, but the item intrinsically itself does not have Kedusha. A distinction that we make throughout Shas, and look, we're well into Seder Kachim, and so this is one of the underpinnings of the entire Seder. This parak in Shas, as now we are finishing up Masechta Tumura, and this is the final parak of the Masechta. So this parak in Shas really starts off highlighting the differences between Kedushas Haguf versus Kedushas Damim. So we start with the Mishnah. The Mishnah begins, Yesh Bekash Mizbech Shein Bekash Bedek HaBayis. So there are chumras that you have by Kash Mizbech that you do not have by Kedushas Bedek HaBayis. Yesh Bekash Bedek HaBayis Shein Bekash Mizbech. And conversely, you have things that are chumras, if you will, by Kash Bedek HaBayis that you don't have by Kash Mizbech. And so, as we round out the Masechta and we begin new Perek, so the Mishnah over here goes over some of the basic distinctions between something with Kedushas Haguf versus something which only has Kedushas Damim. So here we go now. What is specific and more stringent when it comes to Kedushas Haguf? Number one, Shekachi Mizbech Osin Tamura. So first and foremost, that when it comes to Kachi Mizbech, so it can replicate. And you can take the Kedusha and you can transfer it from the primary carbon and you can move it over to a secondary carbon. Apropos to our Masechta, this has exactly been the topic of our Masechta throughout. And obviously, it's something that was not recommended. In fact, it's prohibited to do so. But if you do so, so it works. It's effective. And so the Kedusha can move from one carbon to another carbon that's specific to Kedushas Mizbeach, and it's not true by Kedushas Damim. We're going to skip the parentheses. Basically, in terms of the meaning of the Mishnah, nothing is lost. The Mishnah, V'chayavan Alav Mishum Pigal Nosef Etame. Also, something that has Kedushas Mizbeach is going to be subject to these specific disqualifications. The disqualification of Pigel, when a Kohen, when he's doing the Avoda, has a Machshav of either Chutz or Chutz Lim Komo. So the animal now is going to be disqualified through a disqualification known as Pigel. Consumption of a carbon that is now underwent Pigel is going to be a Chiyuv Kares. No, sir, any time you leave a carbon over beyond a lot of time. Tamei, if a carbon is Tamei and a person were to eat it, so these are all serious prohibitions as it relates to the consuming of an animal, of a carbon, that has undergone these disqualifications. We're going to see in the next Masechta, the opening Mishnah, the next Masechta, that all these are subject to the Kares penalty when someone consumes a carbon with any of these disqualifications. The point of our Mishnah is that these disqualifications are specific to Kachi Mizbeach and do not apply to Kachi Bedek HaBayis. Number three is, we are now on the top, Laman Alpha Mizbeis, V'ladim V'chalvan Aser, Lacha Pijonam. If, let's say, something had Kedushas Haguf, and then it was redeemed, and the only way you can redeem it, of course, is only when it gets blemished, so its offspring and its milk are going to be prohibited after you redeem it. The point of the Mishnah is that even though after redemption it is mutter, and you don't have to bring it as a carbon, and you can eat it anywhere you want, but still it's going to have residual Kedusha. As having residual Kedusha, so it's only good for consuming, and even in that, it's only good for consuming the meat of the animal. You can't, if it has an offspring, those offspring are prohibited. The milk of Psule HaMakdashim are going to be prohibited. So that is a third thing that's specific to Kachim Mizbech and does not apply to Kedushas Bedek HaBayis. Number four, Hashochtan B'chutz Chayif. If I take anything that has Kedushas Haguf, i.e. a carbon, and I offer it outside the area of the Azara, one is going to be subject to Shchutei Chutz. Again, previewing the next Masechta. So we're going to see that's another one of the Isuri Kares. Number five, you cannot pay the workers with something that has Kedushas Mizbeach. Something that has Kedushas Mizbeach is only earmarked for the Mizbeach and cannot be used for any other purpose, even if it's for temple upkeep. You cannot use it and pay off your workers with that. Now, everything that we said above, so far we made five basic distinctions when it comes to Kedushas Mizbeach, and the Mishnah goes on to say that when it comes to these five items, so they don't apply to Bedek HaBayis. Conversely, the Mishnah continues, Yesh b'kasha b'edek habayis. Now, as far as kasha b'edek habayis is concerned, there are things that are specific to b'edek habayis that don't apply to kedushas haguf. Number one, shestam mekdesh l'sa b'edek habayis. If, let's say, you're makdish something, and it's stam, and you do it generically, so the Mishnah says that it is going to go towards b'edek habayis. Now, it sounds like from the Mishnah that even animals are going to go to b'edek habayis. Now, already you should be sensitive at this point in the Masechta to know that that's not so clear-cut. If an animal is a tamim, an animal is an unblemished animal, and I imbue it with kedusha, doesn't it get an automatic upgrade? Haven't we heard that idea earlier in the Masechta? The answer is yes, we have. So stay tuned as we're going to really sit on this line of the Mishnah as we go through the Gemara, where the Mishnah says that stam hekdesh, that if I give a generic hekdesh to any item, it default goes to b'edek habayis. How can that be? So we're going to see the Gemara is going to spend some time on this line of the Mishnah. Number two, hekdesh b'edek habayis chal al hakol. Hekdesh b'edek habayis can apply to anything and everything. Anything that has value can receive kedushas b'edek habayis. Obviously, when it comes to kedushas mizbeach, only those things that are fit to go onto the mizbeach. Animals, birds, and only specific birds, flour, oil, wine. Specific items can go onto the mizbeach and receive the kedusha seguf, but when it comes to kedusha b'edek habayis, you can be makdish anything that has value. Number three, mo'alin begidu lehem. If there is anything that grows off of something that is kedusha b'edek habayis, so those are going to also have the same level and degree of kedusha. There would be an isra of me'ila, not next masechta, but two masechtas from now. The prohibition of taking anything that belongs to the Beis HaMikdash and misappropriating it for your own usage. So that is going to be true not only for the item, but for anything that grows off the item as well. We'll give examples later on. And number four, Ein Behen Hana'a Leba'alim. And the owner cannot get any benefit from it whatsoever as opposed to Kedushas Mizbeach. What does that mean? You know, somebody can get benefit from Kedushas Mizbeach, and the answer is, yeah. When it comes to Kedushas Mizbeach, so what happens after your makriv karban? Regardless of what the karban is, so someone's going to get benefiting from it. Even the karbanola. Karbanola is going to be burnt in its entirety on the mizbeach, but still you're going to take the hide off the animal and the hide is going to go. Now it happens to be the hide of the ola doesn't go to the owner. It goes to the kohanim, which, by the way, makes better for the other gears of the Mishnah. Right? Ein behem ana labalim, if you look in the side of the Gemara, so it has kohanim. So which... makes sense, because if we're talking about the Ola, even the carbon Ola, there is going to be benefit of the carbon Ola going to the Kohen, i.e. the hide of the animal. Whereas opposed to b'edek habayis in its entirety, it belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. None of it is going to be able to get any kind of, nobody's allowed to get any kind of benefit from it. Mishnah now has compared and contrasted Kedushas Mizbech to Kedushas b'edek habayis. There are five stringencies that apply to Kedushas Mizbeach that you don't have by Kacha B'edek Habayis. There are four stringencies that you have by Kedushas B'edek Habayis that you don't have by Kedushas Mizbeach. The Gemara begins with the discussion of Klalahu, the Chol Kacha Mizbeach, Host, and Temura. Now, the Mishnah starts off by saying that anything that has Kedushas Mizbeach, so that can create a Temura. The Gemara says that's not true. V'arei Ofas, the Kacha Mizbeach, Him, V'tanan, Menachos, V'Ofas, and Host, and Temura. So, first and foremost, birds. Birds do not replicate. Birds do not create temura. The pasuk by temura says behema ba behema, animal for an animal, and birds are excluded. And we've seen this already earlier in the Masechta. So kiketania behema. So the Gemara says you're right. As far as the Mishnah is concerned, the Mishnah was only making this point specific to animals. Vahare vlad kachem is beachu v'tanan. The Gemara says what about the offspring of a karban? Ein avlados a temura, and a vlad cannot replicate and effect a temura. Again, at a point that we saw earlier in the Masechta as well. And so when our Mishnah says that everything that has Kedushas Mizbech can create a Temura, again, it's not true. So the Gemara says, Hamani Rav Yehudi Damar Vlado Se Temura. So the Gemara gives an answer, which we've seen this answer time and again throughout this Masechta. Well, maybe the author of our Mishnah is Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda does allow for a Vlad Temura to create a Temura. Sorry, for a Vlad of a Karban to create a Temura. The Gemara continues, V'arei Temura Atzma, Dekach Mizbech V'tanan, a Temura Ose Temura. What about the Temura itself? Can the Temura create another Temura? And as we've said throughout this Masechta, no. A Temura cannot create another Temura. The Temura itself already is an extraction. It's a derivative of a carbon. That derivative cannot go ahead and create another derivative. So the Gemara says, okay, so already now you've seen question after question, not every carbon can create a Temura. Our Mishnah says every carbon could create a temura. So the Gemara says, Kiketani Aikar Zivcha. So the Gemara says, you're right. But the correct way to understand the Mishnah is that the Mishnah was talking about the main carbon. Meaning, even though the wording of the Mishnah is kol, what the Mishnah means by that is anything which is a primary carbon, not the offspring, and not the temura. When it comes to the primary carbon, that can create a temura. This answer then goes back and answers all of our questions. Right? We said, what about Vlad Kachim? And we said, well, maybe our mission is going like Rabbi Yehuda. You don't need to say that. You could just simply say that when it comes to a carbon, so when the Mishnah says that the Kachim is Bechos and Temura, it just simply means Iker carbon. The primary carbon can create Temura, as opposed to Bedek Abayis, where there simply is no structure, there's no institution of Temura when it comes to Kedushas Bedek Abayis. The Gemara continues, Ve'inosim Ha'am Lo'umnim. You can't pay the workers with Kedushas Mizbeach, HaKachim Bedek Abayis Nosnim, and you can pay workers with Kedushas Bedek Abayis, and the Gemara says, that's correct, that's what the Mishnah is implying, and that's a correct implication. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Krav, Asuli, Mishali. The Pasuk says, when building the Mishkan, that you're going to make for me, and Mishali. And in terms of paying the workers, how can you pay the workers? With something that has Kedushas Bedek Abayis. Can you give the Kedushas Bedek Abayis directly to the workers and in order to pay for the services? From our Gemara, the answer seems yes, but if you remember the Gemara back in Shkalim, it got a little bit more complicated in terms of the actual procedure of how to use Bedek Abayis money in order to pay for the wages of the people who are upkeeping the temple. For our purposes right now, we could just keep it really simple. Yes, you can pay directly for any temple upkeep. You can use Kachim Bedek Abayis to pay for the for the wages. Yesh beKachim Bedek Abayis. Gemara continues. Amar Mar Stam Hegdeishos leBedek Abayis, and then V'chal Al Kol. Maybe it should be taken out. Anyway, as I mentioned, when we learned the Mishnah, the Gemara now is going to spend a lot of time on this one line of the Mishnah. When it comes to Hekdeshos, Stam Hekdeshos of Bedek Abayis, that if I generically label something Hekdesh, it's directed towards Bedek Abayis. Now, Mantana Amar Abichia Bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan Deloka Rabbi Yoshua. Who's the author of our Mishnah? Seemingly, the author of our Mishnah is not Rabbi Yoshua. This is the way Rabbi Yochanan understands it. Tanya, we learned in the following Braisa. Now, sounds familiar, this Braisa that we're about to learn together, because we've seen this Braisa earlier in our Masechta. We also seen it back in Shkalim. It's a Mishnah in Shkalim. So that's why on the other side of the Gemara it says Ditnan, it's a Mishnah in Shkalim. This Mishnah in Shkalim talks about a person who has had enough with all of his worldly possessions and decides that he's going to give it all to the Beis HaMikdash. HaMaktish Nichasov. So a person was Maktish all of his possessions. Vaya Behem Behema Rui Lagabi Mizbeach. And amongst all of his possessions, he had animals. So animals that were fit and could be offered. So he just used the blanket term Hekdesh to label all of his possessions. Now, obviously, the couch and the car and the table. So they are all obviously towards Bedek Abayis. That part's clear. But what if he also has animals? So what becomes of these animals? So the Mishnah in Shkalim brings down a machlokas between Rabbi Yehoshua and Rabbi Eliezer. First, the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. So if he had animals that were Raila Gabi Mizbech, Zachar Minikavis, and he happened to have both male and female animals, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Zacharim Yimachul Tzarchi Olos, Vinikavis Yimachul Tzarchi Shlamim, Udemem Yiplu Im Shar Nechastim LeBedek Abayis. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, here's what you do procedurally when it comes to the animals. The male animals, you're going to be selling, when I say you, merely the Gizbar, is going to be selling towards people who need to bring a carbon ola. So they're going to take your property, specifically your animals, your male animals, and sell it to the people who need need a carbon ola. And now the proceeds go right to Bedek Abayis. So, and I'm sorry, before I explain better, and the female animals, same procedure. You sell them to people who need a carbon shlamim. Obviously, they're female. They can't be brought as a carbon ola. You sell them to people who need a carbon shlamim, and then the proceeds of that sale will go to Bedek Abayis. They just were talking about the generic and the default position. As far as Rabbi Lez is concerned, what are we doing over here? So basically what we're doing is we're monetizing your animals. On one hand, you were makdish it l'stam l'Bedek Abayis. So it means it's going to go to Bedek Abayis. On the other hand, it can be fit for the Mizbeach. And so, according to Rabbi Eliezer, the value is going to go to Bedek Abayis, but at the same time, since the animals are eligible to be brought as a carbon, so we want to make best usage of the animals and bring them as a carbon, even though the value is going to go to Bedek Abayis. So how do I do that? The way we just described. by the Gizbar selling these animals to people who need these specific karbanos, and the and the revenue to go towards the Bedek HaBayis. So good. So that's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. That's our Mishnah. That's exactly the point of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah fits in very well with Rabbi Eliezer. It's the next opinion which is going to be problematic. Rabbi Yoshua Omer Zechari Mehenas Man Yikruvu Olos. As far as your male animals are concerned, that you are Maktish, and again, you weren't specific. You just simply said it was going to go to Hektesh. So your male animals are going to be Brazza Carbonola. Nikevos, now as far as your female animals are concerned, they're also going to be Brazza Carbonola. You're wondering, how can that be? They're female animals. So the solution is, Unikevos Yimachu L'tzarchi Shlamim. So what you're going to do is that you're going to, the Gizbar is going to sell your female animals for those people who need a Carbon Shlamim. Now it will generate money. What do you do with that money? You buy a male animal with that money to offer it as a carbonola. V'yavi b'demeim olos v'shar nechasel mebedek habayis. And it's only all the other properties which is going to go to bedek habayis. What we have here in the Mishnah Shkalim is the machlokes between Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Eliezer. When you designate your possessions as hektesh, so what does that mean from a default standpoint? So according to Rabbi Eliezer, it all goes to bedek habayis. That's our Mishnah. And now what the Gemara is pointing out is our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yeshua, on the other hand, says that the animals are going to go straight to the Mizbeach. They're all going to be brought as olas, the male animals directly as olas, and the female animals indirectly are going to be brought as a carbonola. Good. That's the machlokas in Mishnah Shkalim, and clearly our Mishnah is following the viewpoint of Rabbi Eliezer. Yes, it's a little bit strange. You have a Stam Mishnah like our Mishnah going like Rabbi Eliezer over that of the position of Rabbi Yeshua, but that's the way Rabbi Yochanan sets it up. Now the Gemara notes that the way we just explained the machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yoshua, not everyone agrees to such an explanation. Notably, the Gemara quotes in the name of Rav, he has a different explanation of our Mishnah, of not our Mishnah, the Mishnah in Shkalim. Be'edu shekula zecharim mafil Rabbi Eliezer mod de doloshavik in ishkachem izbech umaktish lebedek habayis. As far as the following scenario, a person was maktish all of his possessions. What his possessions happened to have been were animals. So under those circumstances, is anyone going to argue? So the way Rav understands it, no one would argue. All the animals are going to be karbanos. Now, you said the word hekdesh, but we're talking about animals that are fit to be offered on the mizbeach. What you meant was is that these animals are going to be kachay mizbeach. Lo nechlegu ela be'edus sheish bo mechza zechar mechza nekevos. The only debate between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer is in a scenario where some of your animals are male, some of your animals are female. Rabbi Eliezer savra ein cholak es nidro. Now the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, look, your female animals can't be brought as a carbonola. So by your female animals, you didn't mean them to be carbonola, obviously. So we'll say the same thing regarding your male animals as well. And then Rabbi Yeshua Sever, Cholek is Nidro. And according to Rabbi Yeshua, why do we have to say that? Can't we say that, look, I know he wasn't specific, but when he was Maktish as male animals, carbonola. When he was Maktish as female animals, Bedek HaBayis. Okay, Lishna Achrina, now in a somewhat slightly different way to explain the machlokas, it's still basically the same idea, subtle difference in this Lishna Achrina. Armila Amrav Adabarav Amarav, Bishalo Hikdish Ala Behema Afila Rebbe Lazamo Dedlo Shavik Inish Kachim Izbechum Maktish Lebedek HaBayis. If you were Maktish and all your possessions were just animals, even if it was male and female, it's all going to go to the Mizbeach, because that's what you meant. And everybody agrees to that. When is there a machlokes between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer? Lo nechlegu ela b'sheyesh shar nechasim imahem. It's when you have other possessions with them. Meaning, you are maktish all your possessions and include both animals and the car. Animals and any other item of value. Rabbi Elazar savrein adam cholek es nidro. And Rabbi Elazar says that since you used one term to describe what you're going to do with all your possessions, you're maktish them. And since the non-mizbeach items obviously are going to go to Bedek HaBayis, so we assume that everything goes to Bedek HaBayis. That's Rabbi Eliezer. And midishar nechasam lo liktishu mizbeach behema nami lo liktishu mizbeach. And Rabbi Yoshua savra adam cholek es nidro. And Rabbi Yoshua is of the opinion that no, we don't have to say that. We could say that a person's mechalik. The animals, mizbeach. The non-animals, Kedushas Bedek HaBayis. So now, either version has it that the machlokes between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua is actually not as broad as we originally presented. Not as broad as the way Rabbi Yochanan presented it. Rabbi Yochanan presented it pretty simple, pretty black and white. According to Rabbi Elazar, it all goes to Bedek HaBayis. According to Rabbi Yeshua, not the animals. So now, in terms of our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Elazar, according to Rabbi Yochanan. But now the way Rav says it, it's a more nuanced debate. If what your possessions are just animals, we have agreement. Now again, two different versions. In version number one, they were all male animals. In version number two, even male and female animals. But if it was just animals, then we have agreement between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua. That's all going to go to the Mizbeach, even though you weren't specific, even though you just simply said the word, I'm Makdish. On the other hand, if it's animals and other possessions, so now we have a debate between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua. With all this stated, so now you don't have to say what Rabbi Yochanan said. Rabbi Yochanan said that our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Eliezer in this more nuanced approach to the Machlokas, not necessarily. If your possessions are made up of animals, the Stam Hektish is not going to go to Bedek Abayis. Stam Hektish is going to go to the Mizbeach. Okay. Tana. We learned in our Mishnah. Udemeim yiplu im shar nechasam lebedek abayis. And the value is going to go with the other nechasam to Bedek Abayis. That's a quote from the Mishnah in Shkalim. Now, Bishlam alishna basra hainu diktani im shar nechasam lebedek abayis. Now, in the second version of the way Rav said it over, it's good. It's really good. Because in the second version, there are animals and your other possessions. That's why the Mishnah says it's going to go with your other possessions. El Alishna Kama Alishna Yiplu Lebedek Abayis. But according to the first version, where if they were male and female animals and that's it, still they're going to go to Bedek Abayis. Well, you don't even need other Nechasim, according to Rabbi Eliezer, in order for it to go to Bedek Abayis. So why does it say Shar Nechasim? So the Gemara says, Tanya Namehachu Demem Yiplu Lebedek Abayis. So the Gemara says, okay. Well, that's how we'll read the Mishnah. We'll read the Mishnah that if it's male and female animals, according to Rabbi Eliezer, this is the way we're saying it in the first version of Rav, if they're male and female animals, so the male animals will be sold to those who need a carbonola, and it will go with the other value. In other words, not the nechasim, but the other value will go to the Bedek Abayis. Fine. Okay. So basically, to summarize, the Gemara has, our Mishnah says that Stam Hektish is to Bedek Abayis. That is advocating whose position, Rabbi Eliezer or the Rabbi Yeshua, as per the Mishnah Shkalim. So we have a debate amongst the Amoraim. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it's going like Rabbi Eliezer, not according to Rabbi Yeshua. And he understands the machlokes between the two very simply. According to Rabbi Eliezer, Stam Hektish is to Bedek Abayis. And according to Rabbi Yeshua, no, animals go onto the Mizbech. Male animals go as carbonola. Female animals indirectly will go as a carbonola. Fine. According to Rav, however, who has a more nuanced debate between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer, you don't have to say that our Mishnah is limited to Rabbi Eliezer. Continuing in the Gemara, Hektish Bedek Abayis Chal Al Hakol. Hektish Bedek Abayis applies to everything. Lasuye Mai. Now, when we say everything, what does that mean? Everything. I mean, meaning anything with values belongs to the Bedek Abayis. That's kind of self-evident. The Mishnah obviously is treating us to a chiddush. What's the chiddush of the Mishnah? Am Ravina Lasui Shipui Veniva. It's coming to include even the sawdust and the fallen leaves. Meaning, let's say I'm makdish a piece of wood. Okay, now this piece of wood belongs to Bedek Abayis, and now I smooth it down, and now there are shavings that come off this piece of wood. Those shavings have kedusha. Yes, that's exactly the point of the Mishnah. The shavings have kedusha. It is a shinui. I was wondering the same thing myself, but the Gemara over here could not be any clearer. Right? Rashi, Shipui Venivya. Shim Hikdash Ilan Bedek Abayis, Yesh Me'ila B'Shi'ifeihem. Im Shaf'u V'Yesh Me'ila B'Nivya So. The sawdust and the leaves that fall off. V'Yesh Me'ila B'Nivya So. Alav Shinoshrim B'Yamosa Chor V'Havian Le Lezavel. Meaning because with the leaves can be used as a manure, as a fertilizer, and so therefore they all have value, and they too are going to have kedusha. Yeah, so the sawdust, I was thinking the same thing also.
But does it apply to Ekdesh, you know, or only private?
I don't know if that's true. I'm asking. Oh, you're asking. Oh, I don't know. Okay, I don't know. Okay, Danny, I was wondering the same thing also. Let's contrast that. Meaning the Gemara doesn't make the contrasting point, but let's make the contrasting point. And that's not true by Kedusha as the Mizbech. Now, wood by Kedusha as the Mizbech, is wood going to go up onto the Mizbech? The answer is yes. We're going to learn together later in Seder Kachim that daily two logs are placed onto the Mizbech as fuel for the Mizbech. Now, if a person is makdish wood legabe Mizbech, so now what we're saying, it sounds like a chiddush, but I mean, it's clearly what the Gemara is saying, is that if, let's say, you smooth it down and some sawdust comes off of it, that is not going to be subject to me'ila. This idea that there's going to be me'ila by the sawdust is only to Bedek Abayis, not to Kedushas Mizbeach. Okay. Umo'alin begidu lehem. And when it comes to Bedek HaBayis, if there's Gidol, if there's growth on the Bedek HaBayis, on the Kedusha's Bedek HaBayis, so there's going to be a Din Me'ila, it retains the Kedusha. Not only the item, but any growth of the item as well. What are we coming to talk about over here? Lasuye Mai? Amra Papa, Lasuye, Chalav HaMukdashim, Beitzei Tarim. So the Gemara says what we're talking about over here is the milk of Hekdesh and the eggs of a tor, a bird that is used for the Mizbeach. Now, think about what we're saying now. That when it comes to Kedushas Bedek HaBayis, there's an Isser of Me'ila for any residual, any dividend. And when I say dividend over here, I'm not talking about a profit. I'm talking about actual items that are coming off of the Kedusha. Let's say, for example, the example I'm about to give is the one coming up in the Gemara. Let's say you're Makdish a chicken. Now, a chicken does not have Kedushas HaGuf. It does not have Kedushas Mizbeach. Only two birds go up onto the Mizbeach, a Tor and a Ben Yonah. So you're Makdish a chicken. So that chicken has Kedushas Bedek HaBayis. Now it lays an egg. That egg that it lays has the same Kedushas Bedek HaBayis as the chicken itself. Masha'inkin, that's not true when it comes to a carbon. When it comes to a carbon, so you milk a carbon, or eggs come out of a tor or a benyona, it's not going to be subject to Me'ila. Now, if you're hearing me, well, you're thinking, is that true? Well, now we're going to get more of the full story. Kiditanya, the Gemara quotes the following braisa. Chalav ha-mukdashim ha-beisei tarim lo nenim v'lo ma'alin. So when it comes to the milk of a carbon or the eggs of a carbon, so lo nen, and you're not allowed to get hana from it. And let's say right now, because Rashi consistently, whenever this line comes up, and in Masechta Me'ila, we're going to see this line again and again. Rashi understands that lo nen means, by the way, not Rashi here, but lo nen means that you're not allowed to get hana midrabanan. Meaning min ha-Torah, you're allowed to get benefit from it. Makes sense, because that's Kedushas Mizbech. Kedushas Mizbech is only going on the principal, not on any of the dividends. So, but at the same time, but the Chachamim said that midrabban, you're not allowed to get benefit from it. And lo mo'alin, and there is no iser of me'ila when it comes to the Kedushas HaMizbech, the gidulim of the Kedushas Mizbech. But the Brisa says very clearly when it comes to Kedushas Bedek HaBayis, two examples. A chicken, Kedushas Bedek HaBayis. So an egg laid by that chicken is going to have the same Isser Me'ila as the chicken itself. A donkey or a Makdish a donkey to Kedushas Bedek HaBayis. Obviously, it only has Kedushas Bedek HaBayis. Can't offer it as a carbon. You milk the donkey. Now, obviously, you and I are not allowed to drink it, but there's an Isser Hana'a Min HaTorah on the milk, as there is much regarding the donkey. The afil amand amar moalim begidulim mizbech and emil gidulim dechazal mizbech aval gidulim delo chazal mizbech ein moalim behem. Now the Gemara over here says that there is an opinion that says that there's an isser of me'ila even by kashim mizbech, but that's only specific to those things which can go onto the mizbech. But if it can't go onto the mizbech, i.e., the milk of the carbon doesn't go onto the mizbech, so then everyone's in agreement that there's no isser me'ila min haTorah on the milk that comes off of a carbon. Adkan, that takes us up to today's daf. We are now starting on the top of Lamed Beis Lamed Aleph. Echa kashem mizbech ve'echa kashem bedek habayis ein mishana so mikdusha l'kedusha. So when it comes to kedushas mizbech and kedushas bedek habayis, so it does not move from one kedusha to another kedusha. What does that mean? Look at the top Rashi on the Mishnah. Mikdusha l'kedusha. Rashi writes the kashem bedek habayis sheikdusha l'mizbech lo asa klum. Let's say you have kedushas bedek habayis. And now, after it has Kedushas Bedek HaBayis, I want to be Makdish it subsequently to the Mizbeach. Nope, it doesn't make that transfer. Lo asa klum uvekach Mizbeach, ein mishan mikdushas ola l'shlamim. Umishlamim la'ola. And by Kedushas Mizbeach, we're actually making even a more specific point, which is that when it comes to Kedushas Mizbeach, so if something is now labeled as a carbon ola, when a person was Makdish it, and I say a person, I mean the owner, was Makdish an animal and he invested it with Kedushas Ola. So that's it. Meaning not only is it not redeemable, it's not redeemable, it's not transferable. You cannot take the Kedusha and move it from now from a carbon Ola to a carbon Shlamin. Now obviously, by the way, the biology won't allow you to do that because it's male and a male animal cannot become a carbon Shlamin. But even in the scenario where gender were not the issue, let's say if something has Kedusha Shlamin, a male animal can be offered as a carbon shlamim. And now what you do is you want to turn around and you now want to make it a carbon ola. That you can't do as well. Once something's locked into a carbon, that's it. It can only be brought as that particular carbon. It sounds pretty clear from Rashi that when it comes to Kedushas Bedek HaBayis, so things can be shifted around. Although within Kedushas Bedek HaBayis, what are the categories? Meaning it's all basically belong to the Beis HaMikdash. But the Rashi making a very clear contrast, and when it comes to Kedushas Mizbeach, it can't go from one carbon to another.
Didn't you say a couple weeks ago that if you like have a healthy animal that could be offered as a korban and you make Kedushas,
yes,
that you have a automatically gets
yes,
gets
upgraded.
So what happened to that?
There are circumstances where even with an animal, it's only going to be by bedek habayis. Let's say it had a mum over. It had a temporary blemish. So it's not going to be given kedushas haguf, presumably. An idea that we also saw earlier is that if you have a carbon, there still is some value to you for this carbon. Now, again, once it's a carbon, I'll say it simply. It's not yours. You now have to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. It's going to be offered on the Mizbeach, and depending on what kind of carbon it is, so you may be eating some of the carbon. Certainly, the Kohanim are going to be getting, in the very least, the hides of this animal. But in other words, the simplest way to say it is not yours. However, it still has value to you. Whatever that value is, you could be makdish that value. So I'll give you a number of examples of what we mean by that. And I say, I will give you examples. Rashi will give examples. Rashi hektish ilui, Rashi kagon. Im amar al ola harezela bedekabayis malin osabedamim lefi mashiyesh la koach ba venosin legizbar. So you already established it, set it aside as a carbon, and on top of that, now you want to be give it another layer of kedusha on top of it. You can, because whatever value it has to you, that's what you are makdish. Now let's specify what value does a carbon have to you. So Rashi says, actually, it's pretty straightforward. Rashi says, "V'nosin legizbar dinam be'erchem beperka makdish machrim adam is kadoshav in neder." So let's say, for example, this carbon to you is a neder. What does that mean? It means that if something happens to this carbon prior to it being offered, you're totally and fully liable. So that means that to you right now, this animal represents its full value, because if this animal is not being brought up, you're going to have to make good on the entire value of the animal. So when you're makdish a neder, so that means that what you're really being makdish is its full value. No sin de mehem. V'im nadava, and even if it's a nadava, says Rashi, it still has some value left to you. What value does it have? No sin es tova sam. So you're going to give its tova sana. Kolamar, im eimazu haisa neder kagon de amar, hare alai olavir fisher, lenidro kevin de imeso nigna v'chai bachru yusa, nemsisha kula shalom, v'no sin kol damele lecher makoin. Rashi just simply amplifies the example where if it's a neder, so you have full recourse, and so therefore you are being makdish its full value. V'hu adinam lebedek habayis im hitfis kachem mizbech lebedek habayis. V'in medava di imesa eino chai b'achriyusa nimsa she'en lo chelek ba ela tova sana. Even if it's a nedava, there's still some small value this animal has to you, and that's tova sana. Rashi over here gives a description of what tova sana means in the context of a karban by truma. So what do we say with tova sana? Your ability to decide which kohen is going to go to. Here, what exactly is tova sana? Rashi writes, "Derashali told davar mura mi yisrael chaveru kedei shi'iten olaso zos leben bita kohen lahakrivo kedei shi'ita oso or kfi oso tova sana yiten lebedek habayis." We've described this maneuver already numerous times. You set aside a carbon ola as an adava, so there's no recourse. But still, there's a small monetary value. Because what a nice grandfather would do for his grandson who happens to be a Kohen is he's going to come over to you and say, look, my grandson over there, the Kohen, right, he's going to be going to the Beis HaMikdash and he's going to be offering numerous karbanos. Can you give him your ola to offer? Now, generally speaking, when an ola is offered in the Beis HaMikdash, the hides are going to go to the Mishmar, to the Anshei HaMishmar. But nevertheless, we also learned together that if a Kohen comes and brings a carbon ola, so he can bypass the Anshei HaMishmar, he can offer the carbon ola himself, and he's going to retain the hide. So this grandfather is going to say, look, my son, the grandson, do me a favor. Give my grandson the carbon ola that you set aside. Let him offer it. And obviously, I'll pay you for that consideration. That value of what it would cost the grandfather to have you give the carbon ola to his grandson to offer it, so that's considered tova sana in this context. That's what you're being makdish. The Mishnah is coming to teach us that when you have a karban, if it's a neder, you can be makdish its full value because of the recourse. And when it comes to a nedava, you could be makdish the tova sana. And that is going to be given to the Beis HaMikdash.
It's fixed value, though, so how could they determine?
They'll determine it. It's got a value. These things have a value. They'll determine it. Now, if you give it as hektish, you could also give it as cherem as well. Cherem we discussed at the end of Masechta Erchin. Cherem is also another vehicle in which you're going to give something kedusha properties to it. Where is the destiny? Who's the recipient of cherem? So there are two possible recipients. Either it's going to be the Beis Hamikdash or it's going to be the Kohanim. What if you don't specify? So we saw at the end of Erchin, Machlokis HaTanayim, exactly where the Cherem goes, whether it goes to the Kohanim or whether it goes to Bedek HaBayis. But the point of our Mishnah is that for a carbon, it still has monetary value to you, and you could be Makdish it with either Hektish or Cherem. V'im Mesu Yikbaru. Now, what if your carbon dies? If your carbon dies, it's going to be buried. You cannot redeem it. Rabbi Shimon Amar Kachi Bedek HaBayis Mesu Yiftu. And Rabbi Shimon says that when it comes to Kachi Bedek HaBayis, if it dies, you can redeem it. This machlokus between the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon, we're going to be spending all of tomorrow discussing this machlokus. So rather than giving any explanation right now, I'll reserve the entire explanation for tomorrow's daf, because it's almost the entirety of tomorrow's daf dedicated to this machlokus. Amar Rav Huna Kachi Mizbech Shi Yitfisim Lechar Mikohanim Lawasaklum. Rav Huna makes the following statement. If I have a carbon, and I want to, on top of it being a carbon, I want to also dedicate its value as cherem kohanim. So Rav Huna says, you have done nothing. It has no consequence. Now, if you're thinking to yourself, did we not learn the Mishnah just moments earlier, where the Mishnah says that there can be a cherem applied to a carbon? So it means that you are thinking correctly. You're in the right ballpark, because we just did say that in the Mishnah. And obviously, Rav Huna is making a statement that's going to need to be defended, because our Mishnah doesn't seem to say that. In the meantime, however, Rav Huna says that if I want to put a cherem kedusha on top of a carbon, a cherem a kohanim kedusha on top of a carbon, it is inconsequential. Lo asuklum, my taima, amakar kol cherem kodesh kadashim hu la'ashem. Kol cherem dekodesh kadashim haveu la'ashem lehave. Anything that is going to be assigned as cherem can only go towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, and there is no cherem that can go on top of a carbon, that can superimpose on top of a carbon. Okay, that's the statement of Rav Huna, and now here comes the defense, because there's going to be a lot of attacks. Meisvei, the Gemara quotes the Braisa. Kache bedek habayish yitfisim bein lekache mizbech bein lecherem ekohanim lo asu klum. If I have a kache bedek habayish, and on top of that, I am going to then be makdish I want to be makdish something on top of it. Doesn't matter whether it's mizbech or whether it's cherem kohanim. It's ineffective because it already belongs to bedek habayis. Cherem kohanim sheitfisam. If something is cherem kohen and I want to give it another kedusha on top of it, bein lekachem mizbech, bein lekachem bedek habayis, lo asaklom. So you have done nothing. So you see that when it comes to kachem bedek habayis and cherem kohanim, there can be no kedusha superimposed on top of that. Okay, that's where the brisa ends. Now, if there is an implication of the brisa, what seems to be the implication of the brisa, the Gemara spells it out. Hakachim is beach. If what I'm starting with is a carbon, sheet feast on the cherem kohanim, asha asasui. That means that you can be macherim cherem kohanim on top of a carbon, because the brisa seems to go over the scenarios in which you can't. And what it leaves out seems to imply you can. And so by implication, what the Bryson now is saying is that you can put a cherme kohanim on top of a carbon. Again, it has a value to you. Like Rashi explained, either it's a net or a nedava. However we're going to assess the value, it has a value. And that value, you could be a machrim. So tiyufta the Rav Huna. So the way the Bryson presents itself and the implication seems to be going against Rav Huna. So I'm l'cha Rav Huna, kishari ahada shari. So the Gemara says, you're right. The Braisa left out the case of a carbon. But the reason why I left out the case of the carbon is because the kachim is bech sheet fisal and bedek habayis masha asa asui aval lechem ekohanim lo asa klom. Because, explains Rav Huna, in defense of Rav Huna, the reason why a carbon was left out is because when it comes to a carbon, you want to do hekdesh ilui on top of the carbon that you can do. You want to do cherem kohanim on top of the carbon that you can't do. In other words, Rav Huna makes a very sophisticated distinction between what you can do on top of a carbon, what you can be makdish on top of the carbon. Only ilui bedek habayis, but not ilui cherem kohanim. Again, why the distinction? I don't have a svara, but in other words, he had a pasuk, he had a drasha. And that's why it was left out of the brisa. So the Gemara says, V'lisne gabi hanach. So the Gemara says, okay, so, but that means, though, that by a carbon there is a limitation. So the whole purpose of this brisa was to give us limitation. Something that belongs to Bedek HaBayis, there's no ilu on top of it. Something which is Cherme Kohanim, there's no ilu on top of it. Why didn't the brisa then finish the sentence? Something which is a carbon, there's no ilui on top of it. Now, when I say there's no ilui, that means there's not no ilui. It means that there's no ilui chermi kohanim on top of it. But why doesn't the Brisa make that point? So the Gemara answers very simply, Tana de is beitarte, katana de les beitarte, lo katani. Because the Brisa wanted to give a clear and definitive rule. When it comes to bedek habayis, when it comes to chermi kohanim, you can't overlay on top of that any kedusha whatsoever. Not hektesh, not chermi kohanim. So the Brisa wanted to keep and restrict its comments to those things which are definitive. When it comes to a carbon, because according to Rav Huna, it's not definitive, the Brisa wanted to stay away from that. Tanan, what about our Mishnah? Makdish osan hektish ilui. So our Mishnah says that you can superimpose on top of a carbon a hektish ilui. Whatever value it has to you, you could be makdish it, that value. My love hektish ilui lebedek habayis, umecharima mecharmi kohen. So the Gemara assumes that that the hektish ilu is going to go to bedek habayis, and you could be also be machrim to chermei kohanim. And again, if this is the correct way to understand the Mishnah, it goes directly against the opinion of Rav Huna. The Gemara says lo idi veidi kasha bedek habayis v'lo shna mapik la b'loshen hektish le bedek habayis v'lo shna mapik la b'loshen chermei le bedek habayis. So the Gemara says no, you could again defend Rav Huna when the Mishnah says that you can slap another kedusha on top of a carbon. It means only to bedek habayis, not to the kohanim. The Mishnah uses both the terms bedek habayis and charamim. The charamim over there in the Mishnah is just meant as cherim bedek habayis, not kohanim. V'halo tani hachi detanya. The Gemara says, okay, but I have a brisa, and the brisa says v'hatanya bebrisa. Hektish ilui kodesh kachi bedek habayis machrim amosam cherim kohanim. So you can put a cherim kohen on top of a carbon. So says the brisa. Vodatayin, the Gemara says, and I have another brisa. Kachim mizbech, sheikdish lechemi kohanim, asher asui, asui. So tiyufta deravuna tiyufta. And I have another brisa that says very clearly that if I have a carbon and I want to be makdish the value to chemi kohanim, so the brisa says, so you can do so. So after the Gemara has heroically tried to defend Rav Huna, eventually the preponderance of evidence seems to suggest that Rav Huna is not a defensible position. So he doesn't own the carbon, but it has value to him. He's being makdish the value.
But it's already makdish.
Yeah, but even after it belongs to Hektesh, it still to him has a value. We described it earlier in terms of what its value is. Either the value is a recourse if the animal's lost, that's in case of a neder, or even the case of a nedava, it's tovah sana. It has a value. What he's being makdish is the value. V'ha Rav Huna kra kamar, back to our Gemara. So the Gemara says, yeah, Rav Huna brought a pasuk. So Amar Ula, Amar Kra, Cherem, Kol Cherem. So as far as Ula is concerned, no. In fact, just the opposite. The pasuk seems to indicate that if the Torah just wanted to say Cherem, that you could dedicate something to the Kohanim, the Torah would have said Cherem, and that would have been it. By virtue of the fact that the Torah says Kol Cherem, that's teaching us now a next level, a degree above that. I could be Machrim anything. Included in anything is even a carbon. If I have a carbon, I could be machrim the carbon to Kohanim. How could I be machrim the carbon to Kohanim? Again, that excess value that it has. By nedever and by neder, the full value, because of recourse. By nedever and tovas anah. Umi amar ula achi, v'hamar ula hamasfis ola bedek habayis in ba'ela ikuv gizbarim bilvad. The Gemara is bothered because Ula made another statement that if I'm matfis and ola to bedek habayis, meaning it's a carbon ola, and now what I want to do is I want to be makdish it. And I am makdish it. It's value to bedek habayis. So what happens as a result of that? So the Gemara says nothing. Nothing. The Gizbarim are going to come and just simply pick up the animal as a carbon. That's it. And now, what just happened? Meaning, Ula has rejected Rav Huna. The Gemara rejected Rav Huna. And Ula did as well. And we said that when it comes to a carbon, so there is an extra value on every carbon, and you could be makdish at extra value. And we said that in the Mishnah. And we said in the Brisa, and not only could you be makdish, you can even be machrim it as well. You can even make cherem kohanim on that extra value. So what is Ula just, what has Ula just taught us? That when you are machrim a carbon, not even machrim, you are makdish, the value of a carbon, so nothing comes as a result of that. The Gezbarim come over and they pick up your carbon. And that's it. So the Gemara's answer, as we are now on the top of Amid Beis, Amid Beis. Now the Girsa over here, so from Rashi, it sounds like what the Girsa should be is Mid Rabbanan. So the Gemara says that you're right. The as far as the drasha that we just quoted, it's not a drasha gemura. It's really just an asmachta. The idea that you have to give its value to the Beis Hamikdash, that is a din derabbanan, not a din d'araisa. What about the pasuk and the drasha? Kra l'me'ila asa. The pasuk is just there to teach us a halacha regarding me'ila. So the Gemara says me'ila l'me'ila lama le'kra kachek kadashim k'siv bei. So the Gemara says you're telling me that the pasuk is coming to teach me a halacha that this kind of carbon is subject to me'ila? Like, wouldn't we have known that already? Isn't every carbon that falls under the category of kachek kadashim subject to me'ila? So the Gemara says l'tamech adam rav yana ein me'ila mufreshes matara ela ba'ola bevad. As far as the Isra of Me'ila, principally, primarily the Isra of Me'ila, is only for the carbon ola. Shenemar nefesh kisim ol ma'al v'chata b'shkagah mikadshei Hashem. Ha-miyuchadim la-Hashem. As far as the Isra of Me'ila, primarily the Isra of Me'ila is only on the carbon ola. Avachatos v'ashav lo nafka ela midrebi. How do I know there's an Isra of Me'ila on chatos and Hashem? Drasha. Ditanya, the Gemara quotes the following drasha. Rebbe Omer kol So Rebbe says that Kol Chelev LaHashem is telling me that there is going to be an Isser of Me'ila on the parts of a Shlemen that go up onto the Mizbeach. Now, I understand, I need a drasha. In other words, the parts of a Shlemen that go up onto the Mizbeach are filed under the category of Kache Kadashim. And that doesn't that by itself give it a status of an Isser Me'ila? So, even though it is kachik kadashim, we still need a drasha. Charamim nami afagav de kachik kadashim k'siv b'hu b'ikra l'rebui l'me'ila. Same thing with cherem. Cherem is kachik kadashim, and yet and still, I need a drasha in order to teach me that there's an isra me'ila on the charamim. Period. Okay, so let's stop over here. Let's recap. We started the seventh and final parak of the Masechta this morning. Our first mission and our first sugya went over the very basic differentiation between Kachim Mizbech versus Kachim Bet HaKabayis. We went through the first sugya of the Masechta, amplifying these distinctions. A question of whether our Mishnah is following the Shita of Rabbi Elazar or the Shita of Rabbi Yeshua as per the Mishnah in Shkalim. Rav Yochanan and Rav debate that very topic. That took up most of the Amud Beis. We talked about the Isra of Me'ila when it comes to the Gidulim of Bet HaKabayis as opposed to the Gidulim of Kachim Mizbeach. And we started the Mishnah on Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says that you cannot change Kedushas Mizbeach and Kedushas Bet HaKabayis from one Kedusha to another Kedusha. It can't go from one category to another category once it's in a category. It's locked in that category. And the way Rashi understands the Mishnah, even within Kedushas Mizbeach, it's locked into that kind of carbon that it is, and it cannot be moved and shifted to another carbon. The Mishnah talks about Hektish Ilui, adding a Hektish on top of a carbon. How can you add Hektish? Because it has a value to you. That value, you could be Maktish. That's what's called Hektish Ilui. And then the Mishnah made a third point, which we really didn't discuss at all. We're going to be discussing extensively tomorrow. And then the big discussion in the Gemara is Hektish Ilui. Is there limitations on Hektish Ilui? Rav Huna believes that there is limitations, that you cannot put Chermi Kohanim as Hektish Ilui. The Gemara tried to defend the position of Rav Huna unsuccessfully. The Gemara says that there is even Chermi Kohanim to go on Hektish Ilui. As far as Ula's opinion is concerned, he subscribes to this idea of Hektish Ilui, but he admits, however, that it's a Dinda Rabbana, not a Dinda Araisa.